You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, coming to you live from a different location today, but we are really excited to be on. I have amazing guests today. Why don't we just bring her right out to start off the show? Stephanie Michelle, how's it going? Welcome to The Startup.
Good, good, Monique. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Yes. So why don't we go full screen so that the listeners and viewers can hear about who you are and what you're working on and what you have going on.
Yes. So I am Stephanie Michelle. I am the owner of Lumena Global Advisory. What we do is we help companies expand their services to Latin America as well as scale their current operations.
So I want you to go a little deeper, Stephanie, and tell us how you got started in this. Give us a little feel for your background so folks can know exactly how you got here. Because with the startup, we really do love a passion story, a background story, and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, so I started my career as a little HR coordinator in telecommunications in about 2007, 2008, I believe. So I've been doing this over 18 years now. I became an HR director and naturally gravitated to companies that were opening up shop or already had services in Latin America. So I gained all my experience working for the bigger corporations. And then I decided to branch out on my own after my most recent contract with Live Nation, which is, they had many, many, many projects. We had Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, and most recently Dominican Republic, et cetera. So I found a passion for, I guess, this work by doing, I guess, the what I felt was necessary, the connect between, because there was a huge disconnect between the way US does business and the way Latin America does business. And the way the individual countries in Latin America do business, Brazil is not the same from Mexico, and Mexico is not the same, let's say, from Chile and Argentina. The laws are very different. The work culture is very different. How people act in the office is very different. So I felt compelled to always be that bridge, I guess, to the leadership in US and be able to explain that and add that to my strategy when we were helping expand. But I come from the I come from the Bronx in New York, born and raised. I didn't have a seat at the table. I didn't think that was possible for me. So becoming a woman leader, coming from my background, was very much something that I thought was never going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. This is really, really good work that you're doing. First of all, congratulations. I'm looking at some of the stats that your team sent over. And the way that you're able to come from the Bronx, I can hear it in your voice. I hear the New York in there. And you know, encapsulate needs and specific demographics in business and really streamline that is a big deal. When did you first see that you had the skills to fill in the gaps there? And how well was it received in the beginning?
It was hard at the beginning, right? To gain that respect, that authority. I think it brought me to the larger question is what I fight for when I'm giving speeches and stuff like that, because I think it's very important to talk about a subject that is not really spoken about. And I'm going to explain. We all speak about leadership, right? Women and leader, getting more women into leadership roles. But no one speaks about the hard truths after we're in those leadership roles. I've been a leader in my field for over 12 years. I've been a leader. So what happens when you get that seat at the table, but they just want you to look cute in the corner? And they ticked off that box saying, oh, yeah, you see, diversity. We have a woman leader in our webpage, but they don't really give you that seat. So I had to fight for it. And I had to really show them I know what I'm talking about. And to get leaders and C-suite to value and respect my opinion has been the most rewarding part of my career.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, we don't hear about what it looks like after they check that box and have you there. And not just checking the box because you fit something outwardly or someone may touch a couple outlined qualifications, but checking that box because you earned it. You probably worked 10 times harder than the next person. So I love that you're willing to go there. I can speak to that space. I can also hitting the glass ceiling at an early age, going back for more education and then pushing myself and having it be those same issues there. And they show up in different ways. But what I want to highlight right now is that with your group, and it's Luima, Global Advisory, I want to say it correctly, Luima.
Lumena means light. So it's like shining light into this business process that has a lot of darkness. So
yes. Okay.
People join Latin America thinking, oh, we're just going to get cheap hires and stuff like that. Cheap. No, but it's not like that. So I think my company is the one that actually shines the light into what it actually looks like to expand.
This is great. So luminate, like I get that. So now with, it says here that your approach has reduced 42% of delays and avoided over 400,000 in fines for clients. Can you highlight how you did that, what that looks like, if there's a company out there that needs your support?
I mean, think about it this way. You choose the country that you want, right? You get all your leadership team to agree. No one went through the risks properly. They probably ChatGPT'd it. I have boots on the ground in each country. So I have a team standing by waiting. This client wants to expand. Let's put it all together, right? So expanding using the data that you find on Google or some professional that says, I have experience in this country, and you start expanding. What happens? You start hiring incorrectly.
Yeah.
Latin American fees are very high for wrong hires and wrong terminations. There's many things that go into, am I going to be the employee of record at this place? Am I going to have my own entity in this country? Or am I going to hire a company that's going to be that employer of record for me? Once you do the hire and you see that you hired the wrong way, you gave the wrong contracts, or you bought a company and you fired the wrong way and you didn't go, they have very strict laws with what we call here pensions. And by year, you owe them this much. And just by firing the wrong way, you go fees. I've seen fees go up to $250,000 per one wrong termination.
Yeah, that's really, really good that you're able to identify that need and meet that. So you are kind of, I mean, you're kind of an insurance for these companies, for these employees, for these entrepreneurs. And it sounds like the HR for all, because some we know when we go to a company, the HR department is usually for that company. It's not necessarily for the employee as well. Yeah. Sounds like you'd be able to do a hybrid kind of service here.
I mean, for the most part, we want to make sure that your compliance is up to par for the country that you're going to, right? So I run an audit risk. I have my own proprietary tools that I'm creating. So I run it through my own tools that tells me, okay, this is the risk score. This is the market. And then at the end of that report, I tell you, this is the market that I think you should enter. But if you want this market, if you're really set on this market, this Latin American country, let's say, this is your risk score. So I score them, I tell them what they have to look out for, if they're ready to enter. So I give the market readiness score as well, if they're ready to enter the market or not, if they need to work on certain things before. I am that insurance policy that tells you you're going to start making money, you're going to start generating revenue right away. You don't have to worry about those fees that are coming. You don't have to worry about you tick the wrong box when you filled out the paperwork in that country. We cover all of those bases for you. So you just go literally... You have the boots on the ground from day one. You have your entity or employer record, which I do not recommend. I'll pause right there. If you're going to get an employer record, understand that it should be temporary. That's not sustainable. You want to be an employer record is a company that hires for you. I'd say a payroll company.
Yeah.
The employees for you in that country. So that employee is really working for that employer record and not for you, not for your company. It's not sustainable. So I do give them the option. You can go in with an EOR right now, but you want to make sure that you start planning for the future to build that entity in that country.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes. And when you, like you said, when you're starting up, there are going to be changes, and having kind of managing those expectations and what it looks like and creating a roadmap really does help you do your job probably a little bit more because you're able to ease into each stage. Now, when we're speaking about U.S. leadership styles and the damage that that might cause for the LATAM team performance, what do you mean by that?
I touched on it earlier, right?
Yep.
The work culture is very different per country. It's not
right.
You can group LATAM into LATAM. You can't. We have to understand that the way people go to work in Chile, the work culture, the work attitudes, how they perceive hierarchy, everything is different from, let's say, Mexico
yep.
or Argentina. So you want to make sure that your leadership team in the U.S. is ready for that culture shock because it's very different than the way we run business here. And
yeah.
you don't want to expand your business in Latin America and day one you have people quitting because they don't trust you, because they feel disrespected, or because they feel that you don't care a certain way that they're used to having employers care, or
yeah.
that you're not looking out for their best interest, or, you know, so
yeah.
Giving that your leadership team, your US-based leadership team, that guidance or that knowledge as to you're going into this country, this is how they work, this is how, these are the words they use, these are the terms they use, all of these little things are important. Those small differences that you took the time to understand them and the way that they work is what's going to keep that trust. That team that you built in that Latin American country is going to want to fight for you. They're very loyal.
Yeah.
You want to take advantage from day one of that loyalty,
yeah.
but you have to do it in a way that makes them feel like you did the work to understand them.
I'm glad you're explaining that and you're breaking that down, giving me an example of Chile. And it's very, very true. And I've only scratched the surface. So going around the world during the pandemic and talking to people about their life, about work, about family, how they're managing, and jumping from country to country. And I did 40 plus mm-hmm. countries. Even just the way that people were handling the tests at the airport, or even how people were, you know, being on lockdown, and you notice the differences and what things were important, how people moved. I can see very, very clearly we all have different cultural differences. So this is really, really important, guys. So if you have a company that you're looking to scale up in a different country in Latin America, Stephanie Michelle is an expert at this. She has boots on the ground. She can guide you to save you time and money. And I want to also go over a little bit about the urgent need for market-specific Latin expansion strategies. Is it because there are people exiting the U.S. market? Is it more attractive because of pricing? Why is there an urgent need?
Well, right now, everyone, the first thing on any company CEO is cheap labor, right? Everybody's running for cheap labor, but it's bigger than that. Bigger than that, you are expanding your brand. You are expanding your influence globally. You have to take it for what it is. You're not just going to Latin America for cheap labor. You're going for, depending on the Latin American countries, there's different talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're tapping into raw talent in AI. You're tapping into talent in technological advances. These people are prepared. They're very prepared. They're very intelligent. They're very experienced in their field. So we have to take it for what it is. We're not just going in for the cheap talent. We're going in to build a better future for our own company.
Yeah, beautiful. What is on the list right now? Any particular industries that are really hot? I know that we know the obvious ones. Is there something, a little tea you want to spill for people who are looking to expand? What industries and what countries should we be looking at?
So on my website, I have an executive brief that you can download.
Okay.
And it tells you per country what the country is good for, what the talent is good in, what industry will be better in each country. And it also yeah. gives you what's hot right now. So what's hot right now, Mexico, Brazil. I'm gonna gatekeep a little bit just to make people want to visit the website and get the information. But Mexico and Brazil are really, really hot right now. Chile with, you know, data centers are popping up everywhere, and you want to be prepared for that. And the way you're preparing is not by what most companies are doing right now. They have a global US-based team that's going through ChatGPT and Google and reading up on the hot markets, and that's not it. the people with the boots on the ground are the ones that are going to help you. They're going to help you in a way that when you yourself hit the boots on the ground, you're ready to make money.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love this. I'm excited. And I'm glad you didn't spill all the tea, because yes, we want to drive folks to your website. And I want people to come in and support exactly what you're doing and take advantage of this amazing skills that you have, this beautiful pattern and package that you put together. And thank you for taking the time to explain this and do this. I mean, what would you say your success ratio is, your customer satisfaction is right now?
Oh, wow. Let's just say that I've built many relationships. Long-lasting relationship is the reason why I have so many boots on the ground, and it's because of all the companies that I have helped.
Yes, beautiful. I'm excited to see what you do next, Stephanie. And please plug in, tell all our listeners and viewers exactly where we can see you once again, find out your information, book a call with you, hire you. Where can we find you once more?
So Instagram is Lumena Global. That's it. Okay. LinkedIn as well. Or you can find me by Stephanie Michelle Pimentel on LinkedIn as well. And my website. My website is going to be your best bet, lumenaglobal.com, spelt just the way that, like, just the way it sounds, lumenaglobal.com. And you tap in, you go into the contact us, and it'll give you that executive brief for free. And it'll send me a message, and I'll be able to contact you or somebody from my team.
This is really great. And I'm thinking for my industry specifically, one of them with filmmaking, documentary, you know, storytelling and all of that. I think this is a really good resource, folks. Like if you're looking for support and boots on the ground in Latin America, I think Stephanie's company is perfect for that.
Yes.
Every industry.
Right now, with a brand strategist that is expanding his business to Latin America. I'm also working with a doctor that's expanding business. So yeah, every industry, just contact us at lumenaglobal.com.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. We're going to be looking into it. And I want to check in again with you, like I said. And I want to talk to you actually about a certain area for a documentary I'm doing. So I would love to be in touch with you again real soon.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Well, have a good day. And thank you for joining us in the startup. You guys, Stephanie, Michelle, Lumena Global Advisory. All right. See you there. Okay, I'm losing my voice today, guys. What a great resource. Smart. I think she's ahead of the curve here. And, you know, it's really important to value and really important to highlight differences in different areas where you're going. Get be researched up and minimize your liabilities, minimize any issues you would have, and maximize that talent in that region. So I think her work is amazing, and I'm really loving what she's up to. And we have another guest as soon as I get a text that he is on. He's early, and there is that beautiful smile. Everybody, we have author Abraham George of Mountains to Cross. Welcome, Dr. George. How are you?
Hello, Monique. I'm fine. I'm happy to join you. You are 3 hours behind me.
I am. Thank you for staying up past dinner time and blessing us with your presence here. I'm very excited to see you. I really want to get the scoop about this book. I want to hear more about what your work is, all the things you're up to, exciting things that, when you were out here. And so why don't we go full screen and give the listeners and viewers an intro to you and your work and your book, and then we'll come back.
Sure.
Yourself. So you'll go ahead and intro yourself, Dr. George.
Okay. I am speaking to you from New Jersey. Normally, I am in India on my projects that I am involved in for the last 30 years. Today, I would like to talk to you about the book I published 2 weeks ago, Mountains to Cross. My background is that I was in the Indian military as an officer in the Himalayas, and thereafter, some 11 months of service, I was blown up in a dynamite accident. And some years after that, I came to the United States to pursue a career. That incident and and a few other things I'll be happy to talk to you about, made me decide that military service was not my calling. Not that it is something bad, it's just that it was not what I wanted to spend my life on. And I decided that I want to serve people who need my help, people who are deprived economically and socially. So my next many years was trying to build a career and make it possible for me to come to come to America, build a career, and go back to India and serve the poor.
Wow. First of all, your story, your journey is so inspirational. And honestly, I can't imagine what that was like for you, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, going through all that and rising up. And I think, you know, it's important for folks to understand what that looks like. I know it's probably very difficult for us to truly understand it, but what did you do after that happened to you? I mean, what was your first step without giving away too much in the book?
No, that is, I won't be giving up, giving away much. I just want to say that I was stationed 14,000 feet above sea level in the Himalayas, close to the Chinese border. That's very high, you know, minus degree temperatures, snow covered, and so on. And that's where I was asked to lead soldiers in creating bunkers and gun positions. And in doing that, after 11 months in an accident, I was blown up. Fortunately, I escaped by a fraction of a second, and that is one of the more, you know, reasons why I decided to devote my life to service. Mm-hmm. A couple of books that I read that had a big impact on me. If you want to know, I'll tell you. But
I do.
You do. Okay. One is by Albert Schweitzer. He was a German doctor who went in a canoe all the way to Gabon in Central Africa and started a clinic to help the tribals. And he lived among the tribal people as well as the animals that are there. Today, it's a large hospital. And I found it very exciting, that kind of a life where you leave the cities and come over there and serve poor people. The other is by Bertrand Russell. He's a philosopher who wrote about the book is called The History of Western Philosophy. By the way, Albert Schweitzer, the German doctor, he wrote a very famous book called Reverence for Life, an extremely exciting book to read. But anyway, back to Bertrand Russell, a line I want to quote from him, and that was when I was in the military. He said, "There is nothing right about war. It is about who is left."
Wow. Yes, yes. That's encouraging, especially when you've just been blown up and you made it by the hair on the very thin hairline there. And I'm loving that you're with us and that you've poured in your experiences and some things that were definitely not pleasant and not easy to overcome into this new book, Mountains to Cross. It's got a beautiful cover. I'm really excited to be able to get this so I can gain from your experience and get all the knowledge that you have. I've had the pleasure of visiting your country, your original, yes, in Mumbai, in your first country. And this, of course, is your other country. So I'm also very impressed that you went from all of that to writing this book to being out in Los Angeles during the Golden Globes week. I guess I want to know how it felt to sign copies of your book among celebrities and VIPs during the prestigious DPA pre-Golden Globes suite. How was that for you?
Well, that was very, very fun. A lot of fun. Exciting that I got to meet the Hollywood actors, and never had a chance before. So meeting them face to face and taking photographs with them, really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, was it like kind of like, oh my God, I'm at this high profile Hollywood event. Right. Who knew? Yeah. Anybody stand out that you connected with really
oh
well?
Oh my God. Oh, I, for the last 30 years, I was living here, mostly in a remote village in India. I haven't had a chance to watch all these things. You know? So I've seen some of those faces, but not really followed them.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I know you, but I have to go back. But at any rate, how exciting. And I guess this is a very powerful story about perseverance and aligning oneself with their purpose and knowing that, you know, when you could come through something and you can write this, you too can come to Hollywood. And maybe, who knows, is this going to be optioned as a book, or excuse me, as a movie, as a documentary? What are you thinking about doing next?
I haven't started looking around. It's only 2 weeks old. I met some screenwriters in Hollywood, and they took my number. I never know. They might contact me, you know?
You never know. That's absolutely right. Anything that you want to leave with entrepreneurs, with people who are stuck, who have their own mountains to cross, that are looking and searching for guidance and for inspiration? Maybe they just feel like it's too much. What piece of advice would you leave with them based on your work and your experience?
Sure. You know, in my career of spanning some 25 years as an entrepreneur, you know, working in Wall Street and in the international arena, I've run into so many people, some of them extremely successful financially. Mm-hmm. And they have, I found them happy that they made money, but they are looking for a fulfilling life, a purpose in their life. And I believe that every person wants to do something good in their life before they leave this planet, you know.
Yeah.
It is, they don't know how to go about doing it. Maybe they have money, they can write a check, but they don't feel all that happy what's happening to the money they sent. So what I want to say is that if you are prepared to devote a little part of your life, not all the time, you can continue doing your work, you can travel around, do whatever you want, but also reach out to those who need your help financially. Mm-hmm. As well as your presence once in a way, and then guide the people who are doing the work on the ground, and making sure that the project that you want to do, you could be in educational arena for the poor, you could be in medical arena, could be any number of things, and you want to make sure as a successful businessman or otherwise, use your talent to make things happen. And my advice to you is that you'll find tremendous joy, tremendous satisfaction and contentment in that. Your purpose can't be all about making more money. Your purpose has to be doing something with it.
Yeah.
And, something meaningful for yourself. And I assure you, you'll find joy in the eyes of those whom you reach out to.
This is beautiful. I agree with that. I love that. And you're right. It can't be about monetary. Of course, we need money to live and make things move and scale things. But if you're not passionate about it, if you don't draw from your experiences and you don't look to help or be of service in some way, you won't be truly fulfilled. And I think that your book does, you know, because the subtitle here is finding life's purpose and service. What part of service do you think entrepreneurs, you know, I know it's a broad question, but where do you think we could show up as entrepreneurs, as startup people? Where could we, where do you feel, see the void, or where could we fill in some gaps? Just some little things we can start with as entrepreneurs.
Right, right. There is gap everywhere. You know, the two areas that I am very fond of, one is, you know, offering the best education, good education to children from very deprived families. They go to substandard schools. They don't have a future. They end up in the same place they came from. Okay, so if you can offer good upbringing and education to the children of the poorest and make them successful, you know, I don't know whether you're aware, some of the children who live in one-room hut with no toilet, no bathroom. They are the children who join the school at the age of four. They live with me 10 months a year, 2 months they go home. Today, they're studying in Ivy League colleges in America. And some of them are in companies like Microsoft and so on. So the point I want to really make is this. Don't think that children from poor homes can't succeed just as well as those from affluent society. It is the opportunity that you offer them that will make the difference, and the love that you give. So I have, after 30 years of working with them, I have proved to the world that it is possible for you to reach out and make a huge difference to the lives of those who don't otherwise have the opportunity. So my advice to them, if you are in the early stage of your entrepreneurial work, well, or your business, you do small things. Maybe you can sponsor a few children. Maybe once in a year or once in a few years, go and visit them and motivate them and do small things there. As you make more money, you can help more. And finally, when you have the means, you create organizations, NGOs, or the area that you are fond of. In my case, it is education, but it can be healthcare. It can be about eradicating some diseases like Bill Gates has done, or primary healthcare. People who don't have the money to go to a hospital, who don't go anywhere and suffer until they are really sick, and then they go to some substandard hospital. So there are so many things you can do. Or people with several, you know, physical disadvantages, and you reach out to them, and you can help them too by setting up clinics or helping existing hospitals to do things. So there is no limit. There are so many things you can do. It's a matter of relating your interest to the need.
I love that. I think that's absolutely beautiful, and you're right. And yes, we see the hardest working people coming from different circumstances that aren't necessarily favorable at in the beginning, but you see some grit. I see grit in folks that come over with not a lot, or suffering, you know, from other things that aren't as desirable in the home or in educational or financial, and they just work and grind it out. What a beautiful inspirational word on a Sunday. Dr. George, what's up for you next? Are you going to be doing some speaking engagements? Where can we get the book? What are you excited to do next?
I have a few more podcasts coming up like yours. And I want to spread the word, and I am on a couple of television programs tomorrow in Pennsylvania, and next week or two, I'll be taped for a daytime show. I don't want to tell who it is, but it's a couple of million viewers for that program. So that'll be a great break. See, yeah. I want to spread the word as much as possible, and give this is a blueprint in some ways for people who want to serve the poor. Through my experience in written in the book, they will get the ideas how to go about doing it it's not just that I did this or I did that, but the obstacles I had to cross, the mountains I had to cross. How did I do that? What are the setbacks? And what are the joys? I try to explain all of that in the book. And I hope that it will be an inspirational book for those who wish to read it.
I tell you what, you've got a very, very unique and amazing open and your journey and being blown up, my goodness, and just your mountains and your obstacles. It's just a pleasure to know you, and I'm already a fan, even though I have not finished. I will definitely be having you back on. I can't wait to see where you go next. Thank you for taking your time and excuse dinner time there in the East Coast. Thank you so much, Dr. George. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Monique. The book is available, obviously, on Amazon. You want to know more about me, you can Google my name, Abraham George, for Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. You can you will learn more about my work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Be
thank
well.
You.
Safe travels. Okay. Dr. Abraham George, what a beautiful story. I don't know, guys. You know, we all have mountains and obstacles to cross, and this gentleman's story is really just another reason why I go, even if I'm going through something, there's always someone that's going through something that seems a bit bigger, right? Or just like, how do they get out of that? And how are they doing so well? And so I think this book is inspirational. We've gotten a lot of good authors lately with touching different things that I know that we all can draw from as entrepreneurs, as people. I think my other guest was a little under the weather today. And so I want to say thank you so much to everyone that was at our Sundance speaking engagements. I just got back a couple days ago. Shout out to everyone that supported all our sponsors, folks that came out and supported. And we want to do it again. We're going to be working on something during Tribeca in Cairns, but I am catching up on a lot of work, as I'm sure all of you guys are, but I'm wishing you a really good Sunday. I think, Sam, that we'll sign off today by just saying whatever your mountains are that you need to cross, someone's crossed one probably a little bit steeper, and Dr. Abraham George's book examines his life and his rise to the top, and now his work of inspiring and giving and exploring a spiritual side and balance and meaning and the cause and why we do things is something he's poured into his heart into this book. So pick up your copy on Amazon today. And we've got some things to announce coming up really soon. But until then, Sam, I'm going to sign off and just say thank you. And what we start up today, be well, be safe.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.